I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If I didn't know any better, I'm guessing Sean still has his mute button on. Yep. Hey, buddy.
There it is. Yep, you're right. Hey, Jonesy, I know that we, I'm just telling Jonesy this right now. I know that we were trying to get into the habit of hitting our mute buttons heading into breaks. I'm going to stop doing that because that's twice now that I've hit the mute button going into a break. And I don't know that we need to because our mics are controlled back at the, back with our producer, Chris Jones. So that extra layer of care that we were taking of making sure that we were muted has actually resulted in what I would imagine is, Seth, is about 10 seconds worth of stress twice now that you didn't need in your life.
Yeah.
Me not
no,
being
that's
there.
Right. I just enjoy the music. I just enjoy it. I don't know. Who's that? Stevie Nicks? Whatever.
It is. It's a catchy little tune. We found out that the Texans, Seth, were in on Derek Wolfe, who was a very productive player for the Denver Broncos for several years, did a nice job of getting after the passer as a guy who that played a position that the Texans could use right now. He wound up going to the Baltimore Ravens on a one-year, $3 million deal with a chance to make another $3 million in incentives. And I think you look at a guy like Derek Wolfe, and at the stage he's at his career, he's probably looking at two things, I would imagine. One, do I have a chance to win a Super Bowl? And two, do I have a chance to play on a defense where I can really be productive? I don't know what how guys like Derek Wolfe view the Texans as a place to win a Super Bowl right now. We know that Randall Cobb said in his conference call that that was a big deal for him, that they've made the playoffs the last few years, but the Texans are a team that's forecasted to win 8 games by Vegas right now. The Ravens are forecasted to win 11 and a half games by Vegas right now. It's the other part that made me think with Derek Wolfe, Seth, is that he would have been playing on a defensive line that includes J.J. Watt. And if this were 5 years ago, does a guy like Wolf come to the Texans in large part to play next to J.J. Watt? And does his not coming here give any sort of indication as to how Wolf and maybe some other people feel about where J.J. Watt is on his career curve?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say first and foremost, I'm guessing he probably went to the place that offered him the most money. You know, maybe not. It's not like it was huge money, and he's made a really good chunk of money. So that's not the only decision he had to make. But in most cases, people go where the money is biggest. But let's say that hypothetically it was the same amount of money. I wouldn't fault him for going to the Ravens. Look, they had a better defense last year. Their style of defense probably is more likely to give a guy like Derek Wolfe more sack production because they blitz a lot. So I think that he probably looked at the Ravens and thought, all right, look, I might be aging. I might be getting up there. I might not be playing as much, but I'm going to have more opportunities to get sacks and maybe extend my career and not take as much of a physical toll. And yeah, it's just the Texans, meanwhile, they don't have an allure as a defense right now because they weren't a good defense last year. And that's where I get a little bit nervous. Not that I'm being pessimistic. Like the Texans, as concerned as I am about some things with the Texans this year, they still have Deshaun Watson. They still have a few really good things going for him. But I think that I worry that Bill O'Brien doesn't necessarily realize that defense matters. and I get it. He does. He's had good defenses. I just worry. You know what it is? I don't worry that Bill O'Brien knows that defenses matter. I worry that general manager Bill O'Brien doesn't know how to sustain and keep a good defense. That's what I worry about.
If you had to bet, do they use the 40th overall pick on an offensive player or a defensive player?
I think it's going to be a defensive player. Just given the fact that they haven't gone aggressively after any kind of replacement for DJ Reader. You know what I've wanted for the last 12 months? I want more of an interior pass rush presence. I want somebody that can get after the passer from the inside. Other than J.J. Watt, and because most of the time J.J. rushes from the outside anyway, you know, D.J. Reader was good at rushing the passer for a big guy, but he's not the guy you ideally want out there on second and long and third and long. And he's not necessarily the guy that he's more of a run stuffer than a pass rusher. So I think that they end up taking a defensive lineman with either the first or the pick and second pick in the second round.
As you touched on, Derek Wolfe would not have been a big ticket signing in terms of money, but he's an accomplished player who has got a very specific skill set. Is there anything that we can learn from them being in the hunt for Derek Wolfe as far as maybe some of the things Anthony Weaver might want to do or change defensively with the team?
That's a good point. You know what? Yeah, and it's a good point. I wonder, because they did apparently talk to him. I don't know what the offer was or how aggressive it was, but they are mindful of that. Yeah, I think Derek Wolfe is, if you look at DJ Reader is that classic body type guy that, like, he's a run stuffer, and this year he became more of a pass rusher. He added on to it. Derek Wolfe is like a 285, 290 pound guy. He's more like JJ Watt than he is DJ yep. Reader by a long shot. I don't mean he's as good as JJ Watt, obviously, but he's more of that versatile 3-4 defensive end type. He could play 3 technique and a 4-3. He can do all those things for you. So I think, again, that's why I feel like since they missed out on Derek Wolfe, they're going to go after another body type guy like that. I was a little surprised when Todd McShay in his 2-round draft mock took Justin Madubuike. I always mess his name up, but the Aggie defensive lineman A&M, there. Yeah. And he's like a 290 pound guy. I don't think he's much heavier than 290. And he's almost like, he almost looks like an Antonio Smith 290, you know, where Antonio Smith was not a big dude. I'm skeptical of him playing in a 3-4, but he might grow into that, and they might bring him in. If they drafted a guy like him, they'd be able to bring him in on passing downs. And he'd be a guy that in today's NFL, the hard thing to do is to be out there in your nickel package where you have 5 defensive backs, but also be able to stop the run. Like, you want to have pass rushers out there, but you still got to be able to stop the run. So a lot of times teams will start putting all these, especially 3-4s, they'll put all these outside linebackers out there. All of a sudden you got Whitney Merciless playing over a guard. You got other linebackers out playing interior defensive line positions. Teams can gash you in the run when that's what you have to resort to get a pass rush. I think they'd like to have a little bit more of a conventional pass rush. And a guy like Madubuike, you know, Shelby Harris from the Broncos was a guy that I was hoping might provide a little of that, but he re-signed with the Broncos. And I think now there's probably not a lot of guys out there that the Texans would prefer over just drafting a guy in the second round.
Yeah. They certainly have more needs on defense than they do offense. So I think that may be why defense is a good play there as to what they may use that first pick that they got, the 40th overall pick that they got in the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I wonder if Derek Wolfe would have taken umbrage with JJ Watt's selection for which snack cake has the best starting 5. Did you see this, Seth? I feel like you're uniquely qualified to comment on this.
This was honestly a shock to me. He says Little Debbie has the best starting 5. And then he lists zebra cakes, Nutty Buddy, oatmeal cream pie, honey buns, and cosmic brownies. I got to tell you, the only thing on that list that's not complete trash is the Nutty Buddy. Oatmeal cream pie. I don't think I've never lowered myself to even consider eating an oatmeal cream pie.
Yeah. Just to be clear, the debate between zebra cakes and oatmeal cream pie nearly ended my friendship with Ted Johnson. He is staunchly team oatmeal cream pie. Now, you think zebra cakes are trash too? You only like the Nutty Buddy on that list?
I only like the Nutty Buddy, and not all that much. I mean, if I'm going to go for my strongest starting 5, how can you go anywhere other than Hostess? I mean, you've got Ho-Hos, you've got Ding Dongs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You've got Zingers. Fruit pie. Am I even up to 5 yet? I might not have room to fit all these.
You didn't even mention. Oh, and of course, you didn't even mention Twinkies.
The Twinkie. I would have started off with the Twinkie.
Yeah,
I got caught up.
Twinkies,
I was looking at.
It's the JJ Watt of snack cakes in the Hostess family. That's their pillar.
Between Twinkies and Ho-Hos, honestly, I feel like you could list Twinkies and Ho-Hos, then Twinkies and Ho-Hos again for your top 4, and it would still dust any of that Little Debbie crap that JJ's talking about.
Well, a ding dong is really just a ho-ho structured differently. You know what I mean? It's a ding dong it's the same ingredients. It's just that ho-hos are in a swirly cylindrical form and a ding dong is shaped like a miniature hockey puck, but they're the same thing. They're devil's food cake with chocolate frosting and the delicious cream filling that's made out of confectionery sugar and vegetable shortening.
You know what? I wish I'd one of my regrets in life. You know, they always say that when you're on your deathbed, nobody ever says they wish they'd spent more time in the office. I feel like on my deathbed, I'm both going to say that I wish I had spent more time in the office eating snowballs, because I have never eaten a whole bunch of snowballs, and I can fix that. I mean, I can write that wrong and eat a whole bunch of snowballs before I die sooner than I otherwise would have, of course, because I'll be eating snowballs. I'm looking at these snowballs right now, and how the hell did I never get into those? Those look incredible.
They look good. Here's the thing. When the snowballs that I always saw in the store were pink. They weren't white like this. Like, these look like actual snowballs. They're the one in the picture that you and I are both looking at here, the link that you have here. It's a white snowball. I think they're covered in coconut, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, though. It's like the cream filling, but it's like they have the cream filling, but then they also have a cream topping, and then that's covered with coconut.
Yeah, I'm out on coconut, man. I can't do coconut.
I'll be honest with you. The fruit pies, I used to eat a lot of these fruit pies when I was a kid, but when I look at them now in the store, it's hard to stomach the idea of eating a fruit pie from a...
How come? Like
I don't know. There's something about, like, there's the actual fruit concoction just being in there at room temperature for so long. It just feels like it's unnatural. I don't know. As opposed to the stunning, pristine natural condition of a Twinkie.
Yeah. A couple of things here, Seth, because this is an important topic. We are going through the Hostess family of cakes to squash J.J. Watt's contention that Little Debbie has the best starting lineup. I feel like the honey bun shouldn't count for anybody. Like, the honey bun, a honey bun's a honey bun. It's not something that's indigenous via its look or its shape or its taste to any of the families of various food cakes. JJ has it in his damn top five. If one of your top five things is a honey bun, I feel like you're a team that's very, I feel like JJ's lineup is very top heavy. To me, his lineup is zebra cakes and that's it. Whereas Hostess, you can fill out a delicious starting five.
This is the problem with the honey bun, listing it for that. Like, all the other, these types of both Little Debbie and Hostess type treats are things that aren't, like, they're their own types of dessert. You don't find them in a bakery or something. When you eat a honey bun, you're just taking something that you would find at the grocery store or the bakery that you can get fresh and eating a worse version of it. I don't understand why anybody would decide to willingly eat a honey bun when you can probably go get one from the bread section for even less, and it was baked that morning.
Freshly
stupid.
Baked.
It's stupid is what it is. And frankly, I distrust, I'm a little bit nervous about JJ for this year, this coming.
My other thing, that's a valid sports take by you right there. My other thing, God, I forgot how good donuts are too. The little miniature donuts.
That's different though. I give those a pass, even though you can find donuts elsewhere. You can't find them quite as neat and pristine as you do in a prepackaged donut.
Yeah, or bite size like these. These are just, you just eat them like Tic Tacs. They're, at least I do. The other thing that's missing here, and I think it was a Hostess product. Do you remember the Chocodile?
No, I don't think I ever
Chocodile,
saw one.
The Chocodile was basically a Twinkie with the chocolate frosting of a Ho-Ho or a Ring-Ding on it.
A Chocodile Twinkie. The confection was known as Chocodiles prior to 2014. It's a snack cake. It's a chocolate coated sponge cake with creamy filling. Oh, so it's got like a hard coating to it.
Yeah.
Like a hard chocolate coating to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done a little bit of research. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff with Twinkies these days. They've got gluten-free Twinkies. They've got all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, well, getting a little kinky with these Twinkies. I like it. Nice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.